Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 11, the Universal Forum, text 46. Kiritinam garinam chakrahastam Ishami tvam drashtum aham tadaiva Tainaiva rupena chaturabhujena Sahasra Bhava Bhava Vishwamurte Kiritinam Garinam Chakrahastam Ichchami Tvam Drashtum Aham Tadaiva Tainaiva Rupena Chatur Bhujena Sahasra Bhava Bhava Vishwamurte. Kiritinam garinam chakrahastam Ichchami tvam drashtum aham tadaiva Tainaiva rupena chaturabhujena Sahasra bhava bhava vishmurate. Kiritinam garinam chakrahastam Ichchami tvam drashtum aham tadaiva Tainaiva rupena chaturabhujena Sahasra bhava bhava vishmurate. Ladies, Kiritinam garinam chakrahastam Ichchami tvam drashtum aham tadaiva Tainaiva rupena chaturabhujena Sahasra bhava bhava vishmurate. Kiritinam garinam chakrahastam Ichchami tvam drashtum aham tadaiva Tainaiva rupena chaturabhujena Sahasra bhava bhava vishwamurte. Kiritinam with helmet. Let's try that again. With helmet. Gadinam with club. Chakrahastam, disc in hand. Ichchami, I wish. Tvam, you. Drashtum, to see. Aham, I. Tathaeva, in that position. Tena eva, and that, rupena, form, chatubhujena, four-handed, sahasrabhavo, O thousand-handed one, bhava, just become, vishwamurte, O universal form. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O universal form, O thousand-armed Lord, I wish to see you in your four-armed form with helmeted head and with club, wheel, conch, and lotus flower in your hands. I long to see you in that form. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita 539, it is stated, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. The Lord is eternally situated in hundreds and thousands of forms. And the main forms are those like Rama, Narasimha, Narayan, etc. There are innumerable forms. But Arjuna knew that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead assuming his temporary universal form. He is now asking to see the form of Narayan, a spiritual form. This verse establishes without any doubt the statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead and all other features originate from him. He is not different from his plenary expansions, and he is God in any of his innumerable forms. In all of these forms, he is fresh like a young man. That is the constant feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who knows Krishna becomes free at once from all contamination of the material world. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatunde Ve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatyate Satarane. Bhagavad Gita is actually quite a simple book. It's simply trying to convince us that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that when we talk about Krishna, we're talking about Krishna in his various forms. That whether Krishna appears as Rama, or he appears as Raha, or he appears as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's the same person. Just like the judge is called Your Honor. And he has a certain uniform, and he has a certain etiquette of dealing with, there's a certain etiquette of dealing with him when he's sitting on the high courtroom bench. But when he goes home at night, he takes off his clothes, he puts his wife and children and come and greet him, and he puts on slippers, and they call him John. He looks different. He has a different name. He has different activities. But still, he's the same person. It would be inappropriate during when the court was in session for the honorary judge to start playing with his children in the courtroom. Equally, it would be inappropriate for when he's at home as John to condemn his children to death. It would be called Rasa Basa. Similarly, we expect Krishna, when he's in a certain form, to act in that particular form. We don't expect that Lord Krishna suddenly going in Vrindavan, suddenly going to try and find some, you know, cowherd boy and kill him. I think he's a demon. No, even Krishna, he doesn't kill demons. Of course, when he comes in this world, then all the different expansions, they join with him. And therefore, we can't say that Krishna doesn't kill the demons, because he says that in Bhagavad Gita, paritranaya sarunam vinishaya tridiskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. In order to protect the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish religious principles, I advent myself millennium after millennium. Apparently, Krishna says, I come here to protect devotees, annihilate miscreants, and reestablish religious principles. That appears that Krishna is doing it, but actually in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says that in one sense Krishna does everything, in another sense it's Krishna, when he's speaking in Bhagavad Gita, it's his different incarnations that are also speaking. In other words, Krishna doesn't kill the demons. It is not that when Putana comes and Krishna sucks her breast that he's thinking she doesn't know it, but now I'm actually all powerful. Now I'm going to kill the rascal. She thinks I'm little baby Krishna, but actually I'm God. Now she's going to get it. That's not the way it actually works. The fact is that Krishna always remains as a child. He's always in the mood of a child. But his expansion, who join with him, he kills the Putana demon. So Krishna's mood never changes. Nor does the mood of the incarnation or the expansion of Krishna kills that particular demon. Now, how Krishna does that, how he can be killing demons in one form and dancing with the gopis simultaneously in a different form, is difficult for us to understand because we can't do it. Not exactly. We can do it to some extent if we look at it this way. Just like outside I may be talking to you now, but inside I may be thinking of something completely different. Now outside I may be displaying a certain mood because it's appropriate to these circumstances, but inside myself I may be thinking of a completely different thing. So I'm the same person. Obviously, there's some connection between what I'm thinking about myself and what I'm doing outside with myself, but I can have simultaneously completely different moods and still be the same person. So in the same way, Krishna can do that unlimited times. He can display unlimited moods and not get confused. If we try to do too many different moods, we don't have that ability, and therefore it becomes frustrating for us. But right now I can think of, for instance, I can talk about Krishna dancing with the gopis and my heart thinking about Krishna killing the demons. So there are two different moods that are going on simultaneously. So that's the ability, that's why Krishna is God and we're not God, because he can do that unlimited times. He can be in every atom and know everything that's happening, past, present, future, know every living entity, be in unlimited relationships of rasas in the spiritual world and fulfilling unlimited desires in the material world, and it's all perfectly fine with him. It's all enjoyable. And not only that, but even when Krishna expands himself in the different incarnations, it's not that he really has a different mood. It's not that Krishna is really schizophrenic and outside he looks like a perfectly nice, lovable person, but inside he has all these different moods where he takes it out on these poor, helpless demons and crushes them just to fulfill some kind of inner desire to get even with people who don't like him. That's not at all. Krishna always has the same mood, ultimately, although there's different varieties of rasas he has. For instance, with the demons, he simply is reciprocating with them. When Krishna slaps and kills a demon, like when Balaram killed Dvivida gorilla, it's not that he's killing him out of enviousness. We read the story of Dvivida gorilla, for Balaram is all sporting. You know that story of Dvivida gorilla? No? Does anyone, you know? Dvivida gorilla, he was a general in the army of Sugriva. You know Sugriva? The monkey warrior who Lord Ramachandra befriended, and the monkey army was headed by Sugriva. Lord Ramachandra killed the brother of Sugriva, Bali, and Sugriva inherited the kingdom, and therefore he gave the monkey army on behalf of Lord Ramachandra to fight. And in that monkey army, there was two generals amongst them, Dvivida and Mainda. They were both from the spiritual world, because most of Lord Ramachandra's associates are, like Sugriva and others, are also have pastimes with Lord Ramachandra in Ayodhya in the spiritual world. In any case, Dvivida befriended a Bhaumasura. You've heard of Bhaumasura? Who is Bhaumasura? What's that? No, that's Bhanasura. Bhaumasura. Bhauma means what? Bhauma means the earth. So he was born of the earth. And who was his father? His mother was the earth. And who was his father? No. A much more important personality than the sky. Lord Varaha was his father. When Varaha picked up Bhumandala, which was the entire earth, then somehow or another he impregnated the earth. and she gave birth to Bhamasura. So Bhamasura was a demon. And somehow or another, Dvivida and Mainda, they befriended Bhamasura and became demons. Although they were liberated, eternal servants of Krishna, by bad association, they became demons. In any case, Dvivida, he caused all kinds of mischief in Dwarka, because after Krishna killed Bhamasura, he wanted to get even with Krishna. So he went, and because he had the strength of 10,000 elephants, he did all kinds of things like waved his hands in the ocean near Dwarka and flooded cities. He kidnapped people from Dwarka and put them in caves and sealed the caves. He raped the women there. He defiled the sacrificial arenas of all the sages. He did a lot of bad things. In any case, he got into a fight with Balaram, because when Balaram and the gopis were having their pastimes near Dwarka, then Vivida came there and disturbed everything. And Lord Balaram, he took away Lord Balaram's Varuni beverage, he tried to rip off the clothes of the gopis and Lord Balaram. So Lord Balaram playfully he threw a little rock at the demon, at the monkey, and the monkey then got a tree and tried to smash Balaram's head with it. But Balaram, in a very sporting way, he hit the tree with his club and smashed it to pieces. And then so the Dvivida picked up another tree and tried to hit Balaram with it again. Balaram hit that tree into pieces. That way the demon picked up the whole forest, trees from the whole forest, until there were no more trees. And Balaram, in a very playful way, he just smashed the trees to little splinters with his club. Then the demon picked up rocks and tried to hit Balaram with the rocks, and Balaram smashed all the rocks to little pieces until there were no more mountains. That way the fighting went on. But for Balaram, of course, at the end, guess who won? It wasn't Dvivida. Balaram hit him on the collarbone and he died. In any case, for Balaram, it was just sporting. It was kind of fun, but it was also kind of the pastimes. And it wasn't that he got into a fight with the coward boys and killed he killed a genuine demon, someone who was misled by bad association. But for Balaram, there was no animosity. It was simply part of his pastimes. So for Krishna, it's just his pastimes. For him, it's all fun. It's all part of his, you know, enjoyment. But for the demon, it doesn't appear to be so much fun on their behalf. They take it seriously. And Krishna is equal to everyone. Prahlad Maharaj was a demon, but Krishna gave him all protection. On the other hand, we find that sometimes Indra was a devotee, but Krishna chastised him by lifting the Govardhan hill. So Krishna is equal to everyone. And he doesn't change his mood. He sees everyone as his eternal servant. Even a liberated soul sees like that, what to speak of God. But God also can discriminate between who's acting in what way, and then he'll properly reciprocate with them. That way we have to look at Krishna's pastimes. We can't think that he's like us, that if someone does something bad to him, then he gets even with them. He gets angry and wants to get revenge, and he feels good when they suffer. No, for Krishna, he sees that everyone's a spiritual being and that whatever he does is to help them. When he chastises someone, it's to help bring them back to their proper consciousness. And when he dances with someone, it's simply reciprocation with their loving exchange with him. Therefore, in one sense, Krishna is equal to everyone, but he appears in an appropriate way to everyone. To the demons, he appears as death personified, and to devotees, he appears as Cupid. So similarly for us, according to our mood, Krishna will reciprocate with us. He does that with everyone. Why not with us? So we don't like what Krishna is doing, we can go to him and complain, but that's just the way Krishna does things. And generally speaking, we'll find out when all the facts come in, Krishna doesn't do anything bad. He does everything good. We do things. Our desires are bad, and therefore our consciousness is covered, and therefore we imagine things that are good or bad. But ultimately everything is for the benefit of the conditioned souls to help bring them back to their original consciousness again. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you, Srimad Bhagavatam, for the wonderful lecture. I would like to ask, does this, you were explaining for Krishna when he kills demons, it's not actually Krishna but his expansions. So I was wondering, is it the same also with Balaram when he does it? And furthermore, also this story about when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vivekananda Prabhu was breathing, he came with the chakra. Was that also an expansion from Krishna, or was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally? Because definitely it was a big influence Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has.
Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has different moods too. But he didn't kill anyone. He was just defending his devotee. So that's the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We didn't expect, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, oh, he's about to kill, he hit Lodnitinanda, let me offer him another frog. No, of course he was angry, because that's the mood of a devotee. When he sees another devotee being harmed, then he becomes angry like fire. So that's the appropriate mood for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As far as Lord Balaram, he has his mood in Vrindavan, he has his mood in Dwarka. He has his different expansions. So the Balaram in Dwarka is different from the Balaram in Vrindavan, his mood. Just like Krishna in Dwarka, as Dwarkanath, he's different from Krishna in Vrindavan. There he's a Kshatriya. So Kshatriyas kill people. So that's appropriate. Therefore, we have what's called Vaibhava Prakash and Prabhava Prakash. So the ones, Krishna is in Dwarka, he's one of the forms, and he's in Vrindavan, he's a different form. Ekatma Rupa, they're divided in Prabhava and Vaibhava. Anyhow, it's a very technical thing. Yes?
Krishna kills someone, he gets liberation, but what if, for example, there are sexual finish or that's not personality, they also get liberation?
Well, he's not a Vishnu Tattva. No, he's not Vishnu, only Vishnu Tattva. That's in Nectar of Devotion. Parasaram. No. He's an empowered incarnation. He's a Shakti Vaishavatar. Yes.
There's two questions. Vritu Maharaj, is he Vishnu Tattva or also Shakti Vaishavatar?
He's Shakti Vaishavatar.
And what is there any difference, Chandravara Maharaj just mentioned in the philosophy, how Gopa Kumara wanted to embrace Narayana, and he came to Vaikuntha because he had this moon.
It's not Rasabhasa. It's his appropriate mood. That's the mood he had. And Lord Narayan wasn't objecting to it, but his associates objected because it wasn't appropriate. But it was appropriate for him, but it wasn't appropriate for the other associates. These things are... And Lord Narayan, even when he was in Vaikuntha, he would manifest himself as a cowherd boy some of his associates became cowherd. He manifests himself as Krishna, and his associates became, some of them became cowherd boys. And the Lakshmi. Lord Narayan, he would do that sometimes in Vaikuntha to satisfy Gop Kumara.
Are those associates, are these the same souls, same persons from Vaikuntha associates?
Oh, I don't know. But somehow or another, Lord Narayan is able to do many things. Where he gets his associates from, I don't know.
A lot of times there are mentioned that also some devotees, they have their expansions, like, for example, Radharani has expansions, and Dakshas also have expansion.
Yeah.
Also Durga has an expansion, but is this the same person, or are they different persons?
Well, they're expansions, and they're actually expansions. Krishna can expand, so Srimati Radharani can expand too.
Yes,
there are, now, if it's that particular tattva, then actually they may be Radharani in a different mood. In other words, there is the jiva souls who are expanded as separated parts, and then there we have Radharani joining with Krishna in different forms in order to serve him. So that's like Sita, Ram, Lakshmana, like that. So she's Shakti Tattva. She's an expansion of Srimati Radharani.
Is she the
same person? Yeah, of course, it must be the same person. Expanded in a different mood to serve Krishna. It's not that Krishna has many special consorts. His main consort is Srimati Radharani. It says she's expanding herself in order to serve Krishna in different ways.
So also gopis?
Well, there is different types of gopis. No, we have the separated parts. Some of them, well, I don't know some of them, but Radharani is the main gopi, and in Vrindavan there are many different. Of course, everything is expanding from Krishna's energy, but it doesn't say that the Astasakis or the other gopis are just, they're expansions of the pleasure potency, and she is the main pleasure potency, but it doesn't say they're her. Different personalities, energies of Krishna. But it does say that the expansion, Srimati Radharani expands herself whenever Krishna incarnates, she incarnates with him in order to serve him in different ways. Yes?
It seems to me that Vivida and Balaram played a baseball match.
Yeah, it's sport. Yeah, I like sporting. Yes?
You mentioned about Radhakula, you mentioned about these monkeys to believe what time and ladies. So my question is, who are these monkeys actually? The one that very disturbed.
They're monkeys.
Like monkeys, like who?
Some of them, when it's very elaborate. These things probably go beyond my particular realization, but sometimes the demigods incarnate, but actually they have their eternal position also in the spiritual world. Like Manda, Dvivida, they're eternal associates of Krishna. But also it says that the demigods incarnated. Like, for instance, Hanuman, he was an incarnation of Vayu, expansion of son of Vayu. So how the original personalities in the material world and the spiritual world reflect themselves as the demigods, and how the demigods incarnate here as reflections of the personalities in the spiritual world, and what all the relationship is really beyond my realization. All I can do is repeat what it says. It's just, I have no experience. I think you have to be one of the reflections of something to figure out what's going on. But anyhow, that's what it says. The eternal liberated souls reflect themselves as demigod forms, and they reflect themselves into the spirit, into this world. Like Devaki and or Mother Jasoda and Nanamaraj were eternally in the spiritual world. But apparently they were Kashyapa and his wife, Aditi, they incarnated, and you know there was a number of Prishnigarbha from Aditi and Kashyapa, etc., etc. So, how that all works, I don't know. But is it?
How many years is that? Is the Ramila? When is
happening? Oh, I don't know.
The son?
We don't really know. It's not really clear. First of all, he's a Leela avatar, so he comes periodically, whether it was the last Treta Yuga or whether it was Treta Yugas before that, I don't think any of us can really say. Because the Puranas especially, and where we're getting most of these stories from, they don't really care about chronological order. Because these things are going on in many universes. They're taking it Therefore, we can find in the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma shakes the hand of Krishna as his friend in the Bhagavatam, but he also, the Brahma's Amhita, he's a gopi. So it's not the same Brahma. There's different Brahmas, different times. We find in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Buddha is defeating people from the aliens from outer space. But that's not the same Gautama Buddha who's... Yeah, who knows what yuga comes from. It's not written for chronology like our historians. It's written for principles. Yes?
How do you get information from other universities?
You don't. We don't get information. How do they get information from it? Because they're liberated souls. That's how they get it. What it means to be a liberated soul means that, you know, when Vyasadeva was compiling in his meditation, he saw Krishna. Therefore, when you know Krishna, you know everything. Whatever Krishna wants you to know. Besides that, Krishna was the one who spoke the Vedas, and he's in every universe. So he knows quite a lot. He knows what's going on at all. But I don't know if these are coming from other universes. They may be coming from Brahma. These incarnations are coming every day of Brahma, sometimes every kalpa of Brahma. There's Mahakalpa and then there's Kalpa. So Brahma is observing all these things. Therefore, that knowledge is there. I'm sure if you go to the heavenly planets, their Bhagavatam is many times the size of ours because they have a much bigger history than we do. So how Vyasadeva was able to access it, you know, it was available for him somehow, either through meditation or somehow or another that was available to him. Well, at least certainly it was available to Shukadeva Goswami when he spoke it. But he heard it from Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva, he got it from his meditation. But he had compiled the Vedic literature, so the Vedic literature ultimately comes from Brahma, and the Brahma, he got it from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes.
Can I ask you, Maharaj, please, to explain, is there any difference in level of liberation between those liberated souls that go to Moluka Vidavana and those who go to the Kuntas? I mean, is there any difference in level of liberation, or is it just a matter of different moods towards the Lord?
Oh, they're completely liberated, both of them. There's no material conception. They're all completely absorbed in prema, just a question of how intensely they are, what they're intensely. But for us, just like if you have the Himalayan mountains, I think they're like 10,000 meters high or something. So one is 10,000 meters high and the other one's 10,200 meters high. For us, it makes no difference. They're both inconceivably big. Yes.
I heard of a devotee that Vyasadeva is still living in Vajradhara's temple.
Is that
correct?
I haven't met him there. But Vyasadeva is eternal. We're all eternal. So why can't... He may be there in some form. Whether we can observe him or not is a different thing. We can't see very many things with our present eyes. Just like someone, we may be here right now, someone may be living on the top of this building. So he's here, we can say he's here, but we can't see him. All right, thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.